When someone is leading us in prayer, reading scripture, I try to pay attention to what's being said, because as Will was leading us in prayer, you know, he's leading all of us before the throne of God, and he's not praying for himself. He's praying for all of us, leading us all before his throne. And I don't know if he intended to, but I chuckled because I was thinking, man, what a great prayer. I appreciate, especially when praying for me, that everything comes out all right. I thought, that's exactly what I need, Will. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I know that God is going to watch over. I have all that faith and confidence. But I appreciate the words and prayers from all of you about tomorrow. I've been thinking about this lesson for a while. A matter of fact, I've changed it a few times over the last couple of weeks, because I was going to preach this title, this lesson, several weeks ago. And for some reason I was gone, or I changed, I did something that day. I don't even remember why I didn't preach that day. But thinking about it over and over again, and this week I rewrote it and I rewrote it and rethought about it. And this morning I was up here earlier and I kind of wiped some of it out and thought, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I love the thought. I love the idea. And I hope that we're all blessed this morning with the things that God tells us in His Word. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in that passage that was just read, Jerry read to us, in Matthew chapter 21. So go ahead and turn over there, and we're going to get there in a few minutes. The title of the lesson is Don't Judge the Harvest. And I labeled it that because I was reading a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson. And he said, don't judge each day, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. And I thought about that, or that quote, and I'm thinking how appropriate it is for us as Christians to not get sidetracked, to not go out every day and think there has to be all of this grandeur or something, and we need to focus in our lives about the seeds that we're planting, not so much what we're reaping. Because God didn't ever say you're going to reap. We're told to sow seeds. We're told to be faithful in what we do, in the life that we're living, and let God give us the increase. And I think about the harvest. And if you've ever been around farming, or if you've planted any kind of crops, if you have plants in a garden, what we're looking for when we do that is the harvest. We want to be able to go out and pick all of those wonderful, beautiful jalapeno peppers and eat them while you're driving down the road. You all do that, right? I mean, that's the ticket. You just go by and snip one or two off and eat them. No, Mike, that's not going to happen. At least for the foreseeable future. But that's what we're looking for, and the farmer wants that harvest, because in that harvest is what gives us everything that we need. Not only the food that we need to eat, but our financial resources. If you're a farmer, you're making a living off of those crops, and so you don't get anything if you don't harvest something. And so we're always looking for the harvest. We're always waiting. And I was thinking about that. Think about all of those physical things. And made me think about a sermon I preached many years back, 6 years, 8 years, I don't remember, about planting trees. I don't know if any of you remember that lesson. But I remember many years ago, about 15, 18 years ago, one of my elders in the city asked me a question. He said, when is the right time to plant a tree? I thought it was kind of a trick question. So I thought about it and I said, you know, I've heard someone somewhere in my life tell me that the fall is the right time to plant trees. And so the intelligent person I am, I said, David, I believe that would be the fall. And he said, no, you're wrong. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. You're a very intelligent man. When is the right time to plant a tree? He said the right time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. Why? Because you don't plant a tree today and expect it to do what you're wanting it to do right away. I started reading because I didn't know these things. An apple tree. Do you know how long it takes an apple tree to begin bearing fruit? Somewhere between 6 and 20 years after you've planted it before you will get apples. How about an orange tree? 15 years after you plant it before you can expect it to begin producing fruit. A pecan tree. 15 to 18 years before you'll get your first pecan. A walnut tree. Anywhere from 10 to 30 years before you're going to harvest a crop. Think about that for just a moment. 10, 15, 18, 20, 30 years after planting before a harvest, before you can expect a harvest. Now you've planted a tree and you watch it come up and you run out there and you go, where are my pecans? Now the tree is only like this flower, this bush here. And that tree is like that. And you're going, where are my pecans? Would you do that? Not very successfully, would you? Because there is no expectation upon that pecan tree at this age to be producing the fruit that it's going to produce. We have to be patient. We have to wait. We have to allow the time for it to grow, for it to begin to do the things that God intended for it to do. And we've got to help it. We've got to feed it. We've got to water it. We've got to take care of it and watch it grow, encourage its growth. And we do this year after year, just like the farmer would go out into his field and he's going to plow it and then he's going to disc it and he's going to fertilize it and he's going to do all of those things to get the field ready. Then he's going to plant and then he's going to make sure that it's watered and he's going to work with it and work with it and work with it until one day it's time to harvest. But if he were to go out the first day and say, where is my crop? What would happen? It's not going to be there. And so every day, don't go out each day expecting a harvest. Don't go out and do that, but start looking at and thinking about and contemplating the seeds that you're planting every day. And it changes our perspective about life. It changes a little bit about who we are and what we're trying to do in our life and who we're trying to become. You think very seriously, who am I? What are the things you're struggling with in your life? What things have you sat down and said, you know, one day I want to be, one day I would like to accomplish, one day, and you fill in the blank. Have you done that? How many times when you look at a list like that do you get up and go, well, I'm not there. I am tired of trying. I'm over. It's not here. We can't do that. Not with ourselves and not with others. There has to be patience. One that's paying attention. One that is doing just like our Lord has done and works with us. Doing everything that he can to help us get where we need to be. Personal harvest in our life. That's what I'm talking about. And so we start thinking about this personal introspection when we start begin looking at our life. And sometimes we get a little bit frustrated because we're not growing the way that we want to grow. We're not where we want to be, spiritually speaking, maybe. Maybe our marriage isn't right, our children, something's going on, or our family, or our friendships, or whatever it be in our life. We look and we think, why aren't these things better? Why aren't I better at this or this or this? Why aren't these things going better in my life? Why are we still struggling with these things? Do you ever feel like that? I'm sure that you do. Something in your life. Here is that harvest. Why aren't we harvesting all the things God promised? I thought this thing, this Christianity, was going to change everything. Soon as I became a Christian, I thought God was going to change everything in my life, and everything was going to be easy, and everything was going to be laid out perfectly, and I'll never have to struggle with anything again, and I won't have to... It's not that way, is it? What kind of seeds are we planting in our life? There's the question that we need to be focusing on. This harvesting happens only when we are in Christ. And that harvest is Christ when He's living in us. And you remember the passage Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And it's when we realize that Christ is living in us, and this harvest of this life that we're wanting, until we allow Christ to live in us, no longer me, no longer the things that I want, no longer the things that I understand, but I know that Christ is living in me. Christ is guiding me. Christ is doing the things in my life. When I give my life to Him, when I plant those seeds, or I allow Him to plant those seeds in my life, it begins changing. And so I start asking every day, what kind of seeds am I planting spiritually in my life? We're never going to have a harvest of a beautiful life until we start sowing the seeds that Christ says must be sown in our life. So many times, and I'm going to have to give credit to Holly, we were talking and she shared some things the other night. She has no idea I'm even talking about this. But she said, I heard this thing, and I started thinking about it. I was like, how true. How many of you have ever been on top of a mountain and looked out over? Beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely gorgeous. To look out and think, man, we can get drawn in, and we can sit there and go, look at the beauty that God created. Look at the beauty that my Father spoke into existence, and we can do that and just enjoy and sit back and go, but let me tell you something on the top of the mountain. There are not any peach trees on top of the mountain. Do you know that? There are not any vineyards on top of the mountain. They're not there. They can't grow there. And you know where those peach trees grow? I don't know if you've ever been there, but Grand Junction, the first time I went there to Elk Hunt many, many, many years ago, I'm down in town, and my friend that lives there, he goes, hey, we just went down the orchard, and we got all these peaches, and they're really good. And I'm thinking, they grow peaches up here? Oh, yeah, some of the best in the world. Try. And I about made myself sick. I ate a whole case that week I was there. Couldn't stop eating them. But when we're up on the mountain, there weren't any peach trees. Not until we got down in the valley, not until we got back down there where the peaches grew, could we enjoy all of that harvest that's there. And so many times in our life, we get caught up thinking that Christianity is always about this mountaintop experience, that God is so great and wonderful, and He is. But we lose sight when we can't see that God is really, truly working on us, not when everything is perfect, not when life is always just enjoyable and everything is going well, and there are those times in our life where everything seems right. And we take things for granted in those days. But when the harvest is really happening is oftentimes when we're in that valley. When we're down there where all of those things, where life really is, and where all of this is happening, and where God is working in us, and in our relationships, in our friendships, and we sit down there and we're struggling with something in our life, and we start questioning when we can't see this, we start questioning, why is this happening to me? And so when I'm down here and I'm struggling and it's hard to live, and your friend who God has providentially put in your life says, let's talk about it. I know you're struggling, and I've been there. Let me help you. What I've learned. You have a friend like that? A friend who will say, it's okay. It's okay to struggle with those things. We all have to struggle with that. And now then, that relationship, that friendship is being strengthened in such a way that it would have never happened while you were sitting there on top of the mountain enjoying the beauty of everything. And now the fruit is starting to bear in your life in those relationships. It happens in marriages. When the hardest, biggest difficulties in our life, when husband and wife come together with God in the middle of them, and they're strengthened beyond any time in their life because they've had to struggle with things together. It's easy when it's easy. It's hard when it's hard. But it's when it's hard, it's in those valley times when our growth happens. So I want you to think. Go to Matthew chapter 21 with me. And in Matthew chapter 21, well, all through here, the Lord is with His disciples and He's trying to teach them. He's trying to help them grasp and understand what's going on in this world and who they are and how they relate and all of those things. He's trying with everything that He is to help them to understand. He's helping them understand Satan is alive, and Satan is going to do everything that he can to confuse you and to change your mind and alter how you see things, and you don't need to do that. So he's talking to them. Now look down at verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you?' And at once the fig tree withered. Now his disciples, seeing this, were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?'" Now, that would have been probably a pretty important question. How did it do this? I would have probably asked a different question. I would have just said, "Why did it do that?" But I think Christ is teaching, He's teaching them right now about harvest, about planting seeds, about bearing fruit. And He looks at a tree from a distance. And He looks at it. Now, if you can tell a tree from a distance what kind of tree it is, you can tell whether it's a mature tree or not. And so He sees this tree that is mature, a tree that should be producing, and He goes to it expecting there to be fruit on it, and there's no fruit on it, and He says, "You will no longer ever produce fruit." And it withered at that very moment and died. Why? Because it was time for harvest, and it had refused to be what God created it to be. Now, spiritually, He's trying to get His disciples and those around to grasp, to comprehend what He's talking about in the kingdom of God. Now, He's going to go through several examples. In verse 23 down through 27, it says He goes into the temple. "And the chief priests and the elders of the people came to Him while He was teaching, and He said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" They're questioning Him. "Who are you? What are you about? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus, and the great teacher He is, basically He says, "All right, I understand. I'll give you the answer right after you answer this question. If you'll answer my question, I'll answer yours. From where is John's baptism? From heaven or from men?" And immediately they begin talking, and they're struggling with it over in the corner, quietly whispering to each other, going, "How are we going to answer this? There's only two answers. It either is from heaven, from God, or from man. And if we say it's from heaven, He's going to say, 'Then why didn't you believe?' But if we say from men, then we have to worry about all the people and what they think about us. And they say, we don't know. And Jesus says, well, here's the answer. No. He says, well, if you refuse to answer, then I too will refuse to answer your question. Great fear seized them. The disciples are listening and they're watching. And he's slowly but surely, every one of these things, he's working on their minds to get them to grasp and understand. And then the next he talks about the two sons in verse 28. And he says, a man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he regretted it, and he went and worked. The man came to the second son and said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. And the Lord asks, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. And Jesus said, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him. Who's growing? Who has received the seeds implanted in them from our Lord? Which one of you is listening? Which one of you is going to obey? He says, who did it? Who listened to the Father? Well, the one who did what the Father said. He said, this message is going out to everybody. To use spiritual leaders as well as the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And if they were to compare themselves, they're up there on that big beautiful mountain comparing notes of how wonderful the kingdom looks, and they're not struggling with anything, they're not going through any kind of change, and they're not going to have any kind of harvest in their life because they're not planting anything in themselves. But the prostitutes and the tax collectors are down there in the valley where they're struggling with everything, and they're trying to figure out, what is it that's going to change my life? What kind of hope do I have in this world? And the Lord says, you have hope in me. Kingdom of God changed them because the seed of the kingdom is planted in their hearts and in their minds, and it's working on them and it's changing them, and God and our Lord is working through their lives and everything that's going on, and slowly but surely they begin growing. Maybe it was a little seed to start with, but before long it's a full grown tree and it's bearing fruit, and the Lord has done it all. What a beautiful image that we have of our Lord. In verse 33 through 41, he says, now listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put all around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him, and they threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? And they said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. They got what he was saying. They're listening, and they answered a simple question about a physical thing in their life that they've witnessed. But the point that they're missing is he's not talking about a vineyard that's growing on or in the valley. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the kingdom of God in their life. You are the one who is beaten and stoned and thrown away, the prophets and the word that the Father has given them to deliver to you, you've not respected anything that they've delivered. And his son came. He's talking about himself. And you're going to reject him as well. You're going to spit on him. You're going to beat him. You're going to reject him. You're going to say, we don't want anything to do with you. This is what's going to happen. And when the Father returns and he hears what you've done, what do you have to look forward to? What's going to happen in your life? There will be no harvest in your life because you never allowed the seeds of the kingdom to change, to grow in you. Look at the last little bit, the last couple of verses that were just read for us. And Jesus said to them, verse 42, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone? The stone that they didn't want anything to do with became the very most important stone in the kingdom of God. You don't get it. I understand that. Everyone is rejecting, but this is what's going to happen. He became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people, listen, given to a people producing the fruit of it. The people who have given their lives to the truth, the people who have sought the kingdom of God, and God has input this seed, planted this seed in them, and they've lived it, they've understood it, they've given their life to it. And they're letting God grow them, nurture them, cultivate them, grow them, bring about fruit in their life. There's a harvest that's going to come one day. There's a harvest that God is going to bring about in our life. He's going to come back one day and welcome those who are part of His kingdom. He's going to come back and say, well done, to those who have listened, to those who have allowed the seeds of the kingdom to grow in our lives. That's your choice. No one can do that. No one can be you but you. And the soil of your heart and the soil of your mind is yours. Are you allowing the seeds of Christ to grow in you? Are you each day planting more and more seed, more understanding, more knowledge of who He is and what He wants for you in your life? How can we ever expect to harvest if we don't ever allow the seeds to be planted? What seeds are you planting in your life? I believe that the Lord chose immersion for a reason. But just like a seed is worthless as long as it's sitting on a shelf. But the moment that you dig a hole and you put that seed in the hole and cover it up, what happens? It begins to germinate. It begins to grow because it has to have soil. It has to die in order to live. And when we are immersed into Christ, we're putting an old man to death and we are allowing our lives to germinate in Christ and to grow in Him. The seeds that we allow to be planted in our hearts and our minds, as long as we continue doing that, continue planting, continue to follow Him, He will bring about a great harvest in your life. Have you begun that? Have you allowed Him to bury you and to raise you and to begin that growth? If you haven't, why not? That's what He wants for you. He wants a great harvest in you, but He will be the one to give it. What kind of seeds are you planting in your life? This morning, if you need to respond to His invitation for any reason, we'd love for you to do it right now. We'd love to help you with whatever we can. The invitation is yours while we stand and sing. Petition now is heard, empathizing Jesus.